clamped up, and he'd begin to have trouble catching his breath. After 20 minutes, he'd be in a full-blown panic attack, hyperventilating, the fight-or-flight mechanism cranked up all the way. Mostly, he'd chosen flight. He'd spent over a year backpacking all over the West, trying to let himself get back to normal. But it hadn't worked. He'd finally forced himself outside his comfort zone to help some friends the year before, and it had gotten a little better. He'd thought he was making progress. But they'd gone back to their lives, and Peter had gone off on his own again, and something had happened. Somehow he'd lost the ground he'd gained. Lost so much ground that even walking through the foggy redwoods in the spring was enough to get the static sparking in his head. Which is why he was contemplating the best way to get himself locked up, get this shit out of his system once and for all. He wasn't thinking it was a good idea. Then, he saw the bear. It was about 30 yards ahead of him, just downslope from the narrow trail that wound along the flank of the mountain. At first, all he could see was a mottled brown form roughly the size and shape of a Volkswagen Beetle, covered with fur, attempting to roll a half-rotted log down the side of the mountain. It took Peter a few more steps to figure out that he was seeing a bear. The trail ran through a deep pocket of old-growth trees in an area too steep for commercial logging. It was mid-March, and Peter assumed the bear was looking for food. There would be grubs under the log, which would provide much-needed protein in that still lean time of the year. The bear grumbled to itself as it dug into the dirt, sounding a little like Peter's dad when he cleaned out the back of his truck. The bear was focused on its task and hadn't yet noticed the human. Peter stopped walking. Black bears were plentiful in the wilder pockets of the West, but they were smaller, usually 300 or 400 pounds when fully grown. Black bears could do a lot of damage if they felt threatened, but they usually avoided confrontation with humans. Peter had chased black bears out of his campsite by clapping his hands and shouting. This was not a black bear. This bear was a rich reddish brown, with a pronounced hump and very big. A grizzly. At the top of the food chain, grizzlies could be very aggressive and were known to kill hikers. Clapping his hands wouldn't discourage the bear. It would be more like a dinner bell, alerting the bear to the possibility of a good meal. The most dangerous time to meet a grizzly was in the fall when they were desperately packing on fat to make it through the winter. The second most dangerous time was spring, with the bear right out of hibernation and extremely hungry, like now. Peter was lean and strong from weeks of backcountry hiking. His clothes were worn thin by rock and brush, the pack cinched tight on his back to make it easier to scramble through the heavy undergrowth. His leather boots had been resoled twice, the padded leather collars patched where mice had nibbled them for the salt while he slept wrapped in his ground cloth. He'd walked a lot of miles in those mountains. Now he wondered how fast he could run. He took a slow step back, trying to be as quiet as possible, then another. Maybe he could disappear in the fog. Peter had once met an old-timer who'd called the bears Mr. Grizz as a term of respect. The old man had recited the facts like a litany. Mr. Grizz can grow to 1,000 pounds or more. Mr. Grizz can run 40 miles an hour in short bursts. His jaws are strong enough to crush a bowling ball. Mr. Grizz eats everything. He will attack a human being if he feels threatened or hungry. Mr. Grizz has no natural enemies. The bear was still focused on the rotting log. Peter took a third step back, then a fourth, a little faster now. Call it a retreat in the face of overwhelming force. No dishonor in that, right? Even for a United States Marine. The California grizzly was supposed to be extinct, but this bear looked big, and big males were known to travel long distances in search of mates. He was only 60 miles south of the Oregon border, and in this dark primeval forest, anything seemed possible. 5 steps, now 6. Peter didn't care how much this particular grizzly weighed or what he felt like eating. He didn't want to find out. He was almost back to the bend in the trail. This would be a good story to tell someday. Then he felt a slight